Amen.
Well, praise the Lord for those new hymn books. Amen.
Amen.
What a blessing. I do have one question, though. I was kind of hoping Jeremy would be able to help me out with that. Those hymn books, they have triangle and square notes. What does that mean?
It was the old style of the notation for them to just half them, just the way the printers work. And so in these hymn books, they like to keep that.
Oh, okay.
So
it's still like, it should be like a regular round note, it just made it a triangle? Okay. I'm just curious. So, I just noticed little differences there, but they, amen. But I appreciate you knowing that, amen. I was kind of hoping you would. I just be done taught, learned something today, amen. Praise the Lord. It's always good to learn something, amen, even if it is about an old hymnal, amen.
Yes, sir.
Nothing wrong with that. Those songs are awesome, amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And not just because... they make you feel good, but because they're true, amen?
Amen. Yes,
not
sir.
Just a top 40 feel-goody, it's true, amen?
Yes, sir.
I'll never get over that, amen? Go ahead and turn to the Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to look at a lot of familiar verses this evening, but that's where the Lord wants me to go, so there you have it. Amen. Matthew chapter 16. Lord, I do thank you for, first of all, is the microphone okay? We're good to go, Susie? Lord, we thank you for this time. We just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to just open up your word one more time, Lord. And I just pray, just help us just to be faithful to you. And Holy Spirit, just do what needs to be done through me. Just fill me from the top of my head to my soles of my feet. Lord, just help me just be a vessel to speak your words to your people here, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for loving us, taking care of us, meeting with us, and just doing all that you do constantly for us. I love you, Lord, tonight. And I just pray you just show up in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, it says there, Matthew chapter 16, verse number 17, very familiar passage. It says there, and says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. And in verse 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then he says, verse 20, then he charged disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. I just want to say the title of the message is God Says, My Church. God Says, My Church. And Crossroads Baptist Church is God's church. Amen. I believe that. That's why I'm here, amen, as a member of this church, because I believe it's God's church and where God wants me to be. And I praise the Lord. When this year started out, it was pretty scary for me and for the church itself. I had no idea what God was going to do, but I knew He was going to do something. And it was kind of exciting, but it was still scary. And I praise the Lord for just being in the seventh month of the year in July now, and we've had a pastor for a couple months, and God is moving. It's evident, and I praise the Lord for it, and thank God for the missionary family that's joined our church, and now where they're sending church, and all that God has done, and what a blessing, amen?
Yes,
it's exciting. It's real. God is real. He's
amen.
Doing stuff with us, through us, and in our midst, and
yes.
I pray more than anything else that that will just continue to be the case,
yes,
amen?
Sir.
I really do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll jump over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I told you we jumped around a little bit today. That's okay, though. You know, next week, Lord willing, next week I'll be doing Sunday school. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So you guys get ready for Bible drills next Sunday morning for Sunday school. Amen. Bible drills will be back. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 12, it says there, in verse 12, it says, For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that body, of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Then to jump down to verse number 18, verse number 18, same chapter. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Amen. Could you imagine getting to church with no feet today? It would have been hard to walk with no feet. Amen. Amen. We don't think much about it until they're gone. Amen. And those members of the body which we think, verse 23, are to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We have a wonderful privilege of being part of something God's put together in this church body. Amen. And I rejoice in that more than I have in the past, a lot more every day. And I just rejoice in the fact that I'm a part of it, that God is moving, and that God would choose to use us in such a fashion. I thank God that He would trust us as a church to have the missionary Irwin family go out from us. I praise the Lord that God would trust us to have a VBS where two boys got saved during VBS, and then a teenage girl got saved the Sunday after, and a lady got saved that Sunday morning. I thank God He would trust us with that. I thank God He would trust His church with this young man's beginning of his ministry and him being the pastor of us. And we're, as we're seeing and we're getting to know him, he's getting to know us, and we're seeing he loves the Lord. He loves serving God. He has him, I believe, as number one in his life, and I keep praying, and I'm keep praying for him, and as well you should do as well. But I'm praying God would just take care of him. I'm praying for whatever God has for him in the future, that it would be exactly what God has and come in the perfect timing. And with the church, what I want to look at is one body with many, many different members.
Yes.
Now, we don't have a whole lot of members in this church, but we have many members as well.
Amen.
And I just want us to think about the recipe for a cake. There are a lot of different parts that go into a cake. And we all like cake. Amen. We got a fellowship meeting coming. I'm sure somebody's going to be bringing some kind of cake some kind of way. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But the recipe for a cake, it has a lot of different parts to it. Different ingredients are required. And we have flour, eggs, milk, butter, baking soda, sugar, and there's probably some other stuff too. I'm not a baker by any stretch of the imagination, but I know a lot of stuff goes into baking a cake. But individually, those things are not a cake. Different ingredients are required. And when they're combined together, they form something new, a cake batter. It's still not a cake, but it's not the other stuff that was before. It's something different now. It's all been mixed. It's got a different consistency. It's not quite cake yet. Something's missing. Heat has got to be applied. A lot of heat to change that batter into the cake that we want. Amen. Heat has to be applied. An opportunity to become a cake. You have to have the heat applied. Amen. And this church, I believe, is going through a time. And I appreciate what the brother said in his prayer letter. Church with a lot of potential.
Amen.
I appreciate that. And I was thinking about that. And I praised the Lord for that. I was praying about that. And I said, Lord, may that be the case.
Yes, Lord.
May it be a church that's small in number. Growing, it seems like I've been fairly regularly, pretty good crowds here regularly here lately. But I pray that would be the case, that we would be a church with a lot of potential. We got some young ones in our midst. Praise the Lord that they're saved and trust in the Lord. They've got a long way to go, but who doesn't? Amen.
Yeah, right.
We're all God's children. Amen.
Yes.
And but you know, I'd pray that'd be the case, that we have a church with a lot of potential. As long as we're following God and He sees fit to bless us, amen. I'm looking forward to the exciting times ahead. Pastor said it more than once up here. He said he feels it in his bones that God's going to do something. Amen. And I'm excited about a man of God like that. Amen. I mean, he's young, but we were there too. Amen. I'm just glad he's where he's at that age. I wasn't. Amen. But I'm glad he is, because he has a whole lot more that he can do for the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's not preaching about him. Right? Let's get back to the message. Amen. This is a good example of the church, because the ingredients are the people. It's us. The cake batter is like the congregation. Okay, we're united. And the cake results is the result that God wants, but it comes only after heat has been applied. And sometimes it gets hot. And I'm not talking about weather-wise. I'm talking about spiritually-wise. We're going to have heat. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be not something we're going to delight in, but it's going to be necessary because it is for our betterment. Amen. Praise God. I praise the Lord that I know nothing happens without His approval.
That's right.
I know that nothing happens, no matter what it is, no matter how big of a side swipe it is from the side or catches me off guard or whatever. I know nothing happens. I mean, absolutely nothing happens without God's approval. I thank God for that. I thank God that I have a God I can trust like that. Amen. I know no matter what happens, physically, spiritually, no matter what it is, God is looking out for me. And I believe He's looking out for us as a church as well, and He wants us to come along to please Him. And man, go back to Matthew chapter 16. Go back to Matthew chapter 16. I know we were just there, but it's okay. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 17. He says something. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Flesh and blood hath not, but my Father which is in heaven. We need to realize and understand, as Jesus points out to us and to Peter, that it is a spiritual reality. It is a spiritual life. We are spiritual creatures, and there are things we need to realize spiritually. Now, we can see physically. I mean, most of us have the ability to see, and praise the Lord for that. I hope we can see well enough to read our Bibles, amen, and learn from the Word of God there. But we need to realize and see and understand spiritually, because that is why we are here. We are here to spiritually make a difference. There are some people, and we need to help out our fellow man when we can, when God moves upon us to do something, you know, like buy him a sandwich or take him out to get a Coke or a soda sandwich, whatever it is, or a cup of cold water. But we need to realize that there is an avenue of existence, of our life, that we need to be pursuing, and it's a spiritual level. And Jesus says, "Blessed art thou, Simon, because you've made so much money." No, he didn't say that. I'm sorry. "For flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." It was a spiritual revelation. And He's telling Simon Bar-Jonah, Peter, "Blessed are you because God has revealed that to you." Amen. God wants to reveal to you and me. You say, we're born again, child of God. We're saved, born again, blood bought, Bible believing, baptized, everything like that. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But can God still reveal something to you? Only if you're living for Him. Amen. God knows who and what He can do. He knows who can handle what. He knows who He can trust with what. And God is not... He never wastes anything.
Right.
We have these fanatics that want to be environmentally, you know, save the world and save the planet and, you know, don't use plastic and all this other stuff. Save and recycle. God is the ultimate in not wasting anything.
Amen.
And if you, as a child of God, if I, as a child of God, do not use what He's given to us on the bottom shelf, we get saved, we all have access to the bottom shelf. And I remember years ago my pastor said to keep the jam and jelly on the bottom shelf where everybody can get to it when you're preaching. But we all have access to the bottom shelf. But if God cannot trust you with what's on the bottom shelf, He's not going to let you grow to get to the next shelf. You say, that sounds cruel. Well, it's a reality. There are stunted Christians worldwide. And I dare say I am one in some degree, probably more in one area of my life. We think about, and we rejoice, we romanticize, we think fondly, and we try to recall memories of books that we read and testimonies of people, of Christians and churches that have gone by years and years ago, and we think about how God used them. But we don't stop and think about what they had in their life that they put up with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Years ago in California, a missionary couple came, and his missionary wife was from the Philippines, I believe it was. And she would talk, you know, it was like it was a time of a meal time or something we had, and she was talking, and she said, and he was an American, and she said, it took me a long time to get him to understand some things. He would get up in the morning, and he would turn the faucet on and just let it run and brush his teeth. And she'd say, no, don't do that. He'd turn it off, and what's wrong with you? Well, we're so used to having water on tap. We are. Matter of fact, when we don't have water on tap, we get mad. We do. We get mad because they don't work. And she explained to him that they have to take buckets of water, and they lived upstairs in the apartments, several floors, like double digits, and they would have to take buckets of water to fill a cistern up there for them to have water throughout the day. So she tried to help him understand, don't waste it. If you're going to brush your teeth, get it wet, turn it off, and brush your teeth. Drink a little water, spit it out, and you're done. Don't turn it on and watch it go by as you're brushing your teeth, like we all do every morning, right? Right? Don't we all do that? Don't you feel convicted now? But amen. There is a difference, amen. We're all on a different level, but we're all part of God's church. And what I want to try to get across is here, that spiritual reality is that God wants us to understand what He wants us to understand. It may sound weird, but it's true. As we read God's Word, He wrote this Word, amen? God wrote, I believe this is God inspired, God written, God preserved, and it's God revealed to us one at a time. As you read your Bible, God reveals things to you in your Bible reading, amen? I can stand here today, and God called me to preach in 1988. Preached my first sermon. No, I'm sorry. He called me to preach in 87. I preached my first sermon January 1st, January 88, which was a watch night service thing. But preaching for God and going through 4 years of Bible college there at that church and in different ministries, and I was able to help start a church and different things like that. I learned a lot of things preaching. I mean, listening to preaching. I mean, I've learned a lot. I learned a lot in Bible college. I learned a lot in ministering. But all the stuff that I learned, all that stuff doesn't equal what God has taught me reading my Bible in Amen. Devotions. Amen. Is that the case? Amen? With you guys that have been preaching? I mean, when you read one-on-one with God and you read your Bible and He shows you a lot. I mean, I was out here for 4th of July. I got here about 1 o'clock that day. Boy, was it hot. My goodness. I work in AC all day long. That's all I do. I sit and work in AC on a computer. That's all I do. I'm not used to sitting outside in 90 degrees and heat and sun. It was just brutal. I was waiting for a guy who wasn't going to show up, and he didn't, to do some shooting and stuff. And I was just sitting out there, I'm just going to find me a shade spot, put my table underneath the chair, shade tree here, and I'll read my Bible. And then pastor showed up about 2 or 3 hours later, and he said, what are you doing out here? I said, well, I'm just sitting and reading my Bible. He said, amen. He sat down and started reading his Bible. and I made a comment. I think it was out there. I was out there when I was talking to him. I said, you know, every time I read the Bible here lately, every single time, God gives me a message. I mean, every single time. It's like I got to stop, get the notebooks out, you know, write the stuff, because I'll forget it in a drop of a hat. And I found a digital recorder. I just got to get some batteries. And it's in my truck, and I'm ready to go to do what you told me to do. But amen. I'll forget it at the drop of a hat. And every time I read it, God shows me something. And I praise the Lord for that. I pray I never get to the point where God cuts me off. Amen. I pray I never get to the point where that happens. That'll be the saddest day, I think, in my life. Yes. Where God will just cut me off for whatever reason. I pray I'll never get to that point. I pray I'm just stay close to Him, stay true to His Word, and obey the Holy Spirit of God. But listen, God shows you so much when you read the God, Word of God one-on-one. And praise the Lord for that. He wants to show it to us. And he revealed this to Peter. He says, blessed art thou, Peter, because God showed you that. This wasn't some hearsay. We weren't just going along with the crowd. Jesus knew God told him that. In verse 18, Jesus says, I say also unto thee, Peter, that thou art Peter, change his name now, and upon this rock by himself I will build my church. Jesus says, I will build my church.
Amen.
Now I've got another message about things that build a church. And it's not preaching, it's not prayer, it's not a bunch of, it's all P's and stuff, not programs and everything. It's God builds the church. Those other things are necessary, but God, it's His job basically, amen? And as we read our Bibles, are obedient to Him, He uses us to do stuff that'll build a church. One of the things that really kind of perplexed me for years was early on when I was in a bus ministry. We would go door knocking, and we had a bus route that was on a military installation, so the rules were a little bit different. I mean, we could still go door to door because they were already riding the bus. And if they knew somebody that we could go to their house, then we could follow them, but we couldn't, you know, just openly go door knocking. So we would go visiting for the bus route for hours. Every Saturday, we're out there knocking doors for the bus route, you know, and having kids. So let's go, we want to go to this in the neighborhood. Go, you know, we follow the kids around. Of course, they thought it was cool because they were leading us men around. You know, they thought they were doing something and everything. But we would visit so many people, spend so many hours out there door knocking, and then we'd only have, like, you know, the regular crowd and maybe one or two visitors. And what was really weird is it's the visitors, we didn't even know who they were. They were nobody we even visited. God just says, well, they've been faithful. You guys are going to church today. You're going to ride the bus. And that kind of perplexed me. I was like, well, how did they even get here? What's going on? And me and a friend of mine, who's in the military as well, Pastor Elijo Thomas from Panama. And we'd say, well, what's going on? He says, well, just thank God for it and let's go. And we did. And then as I started serving the Lord and I started seeing a lot more of it, as you go door knocking, you spend the time, you're faithful. The people that said, oh, yeah, we'll be there, preacher, we'll be there. You know, we'll see you. When services, you know, they get on the, and then they don't come. But then somebody else comes, you don't even know who they are. Oh, God told us to come to church today. We were just driving through. And I got to understand how God works just a little bit. As long as we're faithful, He'll take care of it. Because He'll build the church.
That's right.
He will do it. A lot of people, especially in the fundamentalist Baptist movement, I believe they got into the mindset where they will build the church. They go out like an army, and they go door knocking, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. They got bus routes, and they've got this, and they've got that, and those things are good in their correct place. But God will build His church. Because we're not looking for a crowd. We're not looking just to fill the seats. We're not looking just to have a big crowd some secular event, the biggest crowd, you know, whatever. We're not looking for. We're looking for God's chosen people to come together to worship Him. And Jonathan had one fellow with him when he went with the sword of the Lord. No, it was Gideon. I'm sorry, Gideon with the sword of the Lord and sword of Gideon, and he whipped them all. He just had one guy with him. So it doesn't take much to be with God and have a majority, amen? In verse 19, he says, and I will give unto thee the keys of kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, thou shalt be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 19, whatsoever thou shalt, shall be in heaven. Whatever we do for the Lord that God allows us to do on earth here in heaven, there will be results in heaven for us to see later.
Yes, sir.
As a church and as an individual Christian. The principle of sending your treasures on ahead of you, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also.
Yes, sir.
Is that what the verse goes? When we send our treasures ahead, it's not with airmail, it's not with a UPS air freight or anything. It's by serving God down here, doing spiritual of being spiritually obedient and doing spiritual deeds and being spending time in prayer and in His Word and spiritually fortifying ourselves and doing spiritual different things like that to strengthen some other brother spiritually or some other sister spiritually or some family or some doing a spiritual deed, that translates into rewards in heaven.
Amen.
That's what it does. Sitting in church really doesn't translate into a whole lot. Unless you're in the Spirit of God and you're doing it for the right reason. Then it will. But just sitting in a pew doesn't cover you. It's a spiritual reward. Amen? You can train a dog to come sit in his pew. You can. And a lot of times you can train him to be quieter than half the people. Really. But it's not going to do him any good. A dog's not going to go to heaven. Amen? Contrary to that stupid movie put out years ago. But anyway, whatsoever thou shalt do, whatever we do spiritually, God uses us as a church, that translates into rewards in heaven. And when we get to heaven, we don't want the rewards so we can say, oh, look what I got. We want them so we have something tangible, something we could, because that's what we are. We're tangible creatures. We want, you know, if I don't see it, I don't believe it. You know, that kind of mentality. We want something that we can take and give to Jesus, say thank you.
Amen.
We don't want to be empty-handed in heaven. Now, everybody will have stuff in heaven, but most of it's going to go up in smoke. I want to have something, even if it's just a small gemstone at the bottom of the pile of ashes, I dig through, finally I get something, I can say, yes, I've got something I can give to Jesus to say thank you. I don't want to just go to Him with a hand of ash and just, no, I don't want that. What we do spiritually will translate to results in heaven. There is a heavenly spiritual economy you and I need to be concerned about. We're more concerned about what the Dow did last week. We're more concerned about our 401k. We're more concerned about this, that, the price of gas, everything else. And we don't think one iota about the spiritual economy that we have an effect on in heaven on a daily basis. And you can't blame anybody except yourself, amen, except myself. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. It says, he says it's his church, amen. His church. Thank God I'm a part of it, amen, but he's got rules, amen. Ephesians chapter 5 to verse number 18. Ephesians 5 verse number 18, it says there, and be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. That's a command. That is a command, not just something, hey, when you got the time, this is a nice little thing you want to add to your program. It's a command. And then it says verse 19 through 21, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. You should be doing that regularly.
Amen.
And that's not just for the song leader. Amen. You don't have to sing worth beans at all. If you can make a noise, you need to do this.
Amen.
You need to do this in your car, at home, in the garden, washing dishes, wherever. You need to be doing this. Cutting grass. This is what you need to be doing. Take your earbuds out of your ears, put your iPad away, and this is what you need to be doing.
Amen.
Verse number 20, it says they're giving thanks always for all things unto God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Giving thanks, I'll preach a little bit about that at the nursing home, but praise God for He is because of who He is. Giving thanks always for all things, amen, unto God. Let God know that you're grateful. One of the biggest things I was... I really just buttered my biscuits, raising, helping, you know, with the kids when they were younger, the grandkids, is I wanted them to say thank you and please. And I wanted them to be able to get that ingrained into them because I don't want them to be ungrateful. I don't want that to be incorporated into their makeup so that when they grow up later as a young teen, as a young man, that they're ungrateful to their mom and dad. They're ungrateful to me and Connie, and they're ungrateful to God. I want it to be ingrained in them that, yes, you say thank you. Yes, you say please. You do that. Why? Because you want to be. I want them to be grateful. Christians are very ungrateful. You know why? Because the world has made us that way. We have allowed the world to make us that way. Amen. Amen. Verse 22. Wives, submit your husband. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the body. Head of the wife, rather. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. And wife and husband is as an illustration of Jesus in the church. We should be together constantly. We should be depending upon one another constantly. We are the church. We are the weaker side of the thing. He's the husband. We are the wife. We go to him for direction. We go to him for advice. We go to him for support. We go to him for comfort. We go to him for whatever it is. Just as the wife should do for her husband in a life in which we live in our bodies here today. The wife should be going to her husband for all those things. It's an example. It's an illustration for us to understand that God cares about all of it. And a good marriage is good because the husband cares about his wife. If a husband doesn't know his wife's favorite color, that marriage has a problem. Seriously. And it's not the problem that he doesn't know the color. There's another bigger problem that's just a result of. He's using it as an illustration that we are to be dependent upon Jesus Christ. This church, we don't have to have some newfangled way of doing things. We just need to go to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When we have a situation come upon us that he knew was going to be there, we need to go to him. When we have a situation that we're overwhelmed with us, we're kind of perplexed with, we just need to go to him. We need to go to prayer at the drop of a hat. One of the things that really impressed me about the pastor here when he first came here was something came up, and either he wanted to see, or somebody asked for prayer, or he said, "I'll go ahead and pray for you," whatever. And instead of just saying, like most of us, "Oh, I'll pray for you, brother," and then they go on with the conversation in one ear and out the other, he stopped right there and says, "Let's pray." And I remember me and Connie went home that night, and we talked about that. Because that was good. That was a good thing to behold, to enjoy, and to see that a young man like that can be touched by God. And when somebody's praying, and God shows up, I mean, enough said. Amen? The Holy Spirit inside of me bears witness with the Holy Spirit inside of him, and God made the connection, and that's what has to happen. Amen? Praise the Lord is right. We need to depend upon Jesus Christ for everything. There should never be a time. I mean, I praise the Lord for how the simplicity and the brevity and the way we have our business meetings in this church. They're kind of like just a matter of fact, something we just got to do because it's paper to take care of. And not to minimize the work that Susie does with the paperwork and all the computations that have to be done, but everything. But listen, business meetings in a lot of churches are from the pit of hell. A lot of them. And they have no power of God in their church. And they couldn't save a sick dog because God's so far from them because they're so messed up spiritually. And I'm not saying this church is perfect, but I'm saying, you know, I thank God that business meetings are just something we take care of as a formality. We just leave it all with the Lord and praise the Lord. Let's go on and keep on going. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a plus on the bottom of that thing. Let's go. Yeah, amen. Amen. That's what God is able if we'll just let him be that way. Amen. Verse 27, and here it is, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God wants to present this church, us, to himself. That just gives me goosebumps. But he wants to do that. He wants to, listen, on your marriage day, you want your wife to be as perfect as humanly possible to delight your eyes and your emotions and just your whole life. It's just going to be wonderful. You want it to be wonderful. You don't want her to come out looking hideous. You don't. It just kind of ruins the mood, amen, to put it lightly. Jesus Christ wants to present us to himself. Listen how it says it there. A glorious church. This is him saying that, a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. These are not attributes of the flesh. This is a spiritual, he's talking about. A spiritual church that has no spot. Why? Because of him? a glorious church. Why? Because of Him. Not have any spiritual wrinkle. Why? Because of Him. Or any such thing. Not even a least sign of it. Why? Because of Him. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Why? Because of Him. He does all the work. He does all the work if He's allowed to. And He'll present us to Himself one day. Praise the Lord for that. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 17 through 19, He says, I will build my church. And then in Ephesians 5, 18 through 33, that He might present it to Himself. He wants to build the church to have something He can have later. Now we have a job to do down here in this day and age. Amen. This is the church age. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for grace and for the opportunity to be used of God and have a relationship with Him one-on-one and the priesthood of the believer and all those wonderful, fascinating, just blessings that we have to enjoy down here. But He wants us to, He's building His church to present to Himself someday as well. 2 Timothy 3, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 9. It says there, This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And I'd say we are dead right smack in the middle of that now.
Amen.
Amen. And it's a shame. I pray daily, I really do, I pray daily for the children stuck in public school.
Amen.
Because they're being stolen from their own parents.
Right.
And if a person sends their child to college, they're paying a lot of money for the kids to be stolen even more.
Amen.
And that's exactly what's happening. The devil has infiltrated the education, so-called area of this country, in this world, to steal our children from us. And that's exactly what's going on right now. And they're coming out like this here. In 1963, I think it was, they took the Bible out of school. 63. Look at it now. Now they don't even know what bathroom to go in. They are so stupid, they don't even know what bathroom to go in. Now you tell me that's progress, I mean. It is, but it's not for the Lord.
Amen.
2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. Let's go ahead and finish up there, verse number 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. They shall proceed no further. God is going to draw, He has drawn a line. He is in control. There are a lot of bad things happening. Why? Because people don't go after God. If Christians were praying like they did 100 years ago, we wouldn't have what we have. If churches believed the Bible the way they did 100 years ago, and if churches were praying the way they did 100 years ago, we wouldn't have what we have. Do you realize when the NFL started, it was a long time ago, when it started, they wouldn't even travel on the road to go to their game to play. They wouldn't even travel on a Sunday. And now today, in this day and age, that's the major day they play their game. Christians don't care. Christians are more tickled with their football team than they are with their own Savior. And if you don't believe that, open up your eyes. Because it is true. And let me say this, the devil is more concerned about our distraction than our destruction. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. He knows he can't change that. He's more concerned about our distraction than our destruction. He wants us to fall. He'll try to get us to fall. Amen. He wants it to happen. But he works hard nonstop 24/7 at just distracting us. And he doesn't matter. It was something that was mentioned here earlier, maybe a week or two ago. It doesn't matter where he wants you to mess around, as long as you're doing something else besides following the Lord. He's more concerned about our distraction, and there's a bunch of them today. I mean, they're just 24/7 nonstop. We're being programmed by the devil in this day and age in which we live. I'll prove it to you. I didn't know I'd be able to do it so quickly. The Lord gave me this idea a couple days ago. If your cell phone rings, what are you going to do? You're going to do everything you can to answer, aren't you? Why? Are you a surgeon on call for surgery, for heart or brain surgery or something like that? Are you some kind of, you know, politician going to make changes for the whole world, you know, everything? Are you that important that you have to answer that call like that? No. Don't you have voicemail? Yeah. But when that phone rings, we're all programmed to do everything we can to get to that phone. Now, who do you suppose did that? It wasn't God. Years ago, an old farmer, he was out in the country, lived out there a ways, and he was messing around. He was fixing his hay wagon or something he was working on, and he had an old phone in his barn where he could talk on the phone if in case his wife wanted to talk from the house or whatever, and he can get a phone call in the barn. And he was out there helping, working on the hay barn, and the neighbor was out there helping him, and his phone in the barn rang. And the farmer just kept working, you know, working, trying to get that wheel back on, the axle and everything else like that. And the guy says, "Hey, man, your phone's ringing." He says, "Hey, I put that in there for my benefit. When I'm not working, I'll answer it." Now, you tell that to somebody today, and they will think you're plumb crazy. Brother Miles said that he was on jury duty about 2 or 3 months ago, and they asked everybody in the jury to turn off their phones. And there was a young lady that was almost in tears because she didn't want to kill her phone. That's how bad she thought it would be like that. To turn, I can't. She was in turmoil. She was distraught over turning this thing off. And I don't think she's the only one in the world like that. But how did that happen? If you're spiritually able to discern, you can answer that as well. We need to pay attention as Christians. There are he's talking here in 2 Timothy, perilous times shall come in the last days, amen? We need to be Christians even more so in these last days. In 1700s, when the founding of this nation was happening, and literally they were plowing ground spiritually for the first time with all the different things that were going on, and they had to be right with God, spending a lot of time in prayer. We need to be doing that now as well. We need to be doing the same thing, but for a different reason. We're coming to the end of it now. And we are not as spiritually strong as they were. Not one of us in this room could last in a wooden boat, in the bottom of a wooden boat, for 3 or 4 months on an ocean's journey like our pilgrims did. Nobody in this room would survive it. We wouldn't. Those people were tough and they knew God. And this country was founded by Christians that when they prayed, God heard them, they got prayers answered, and results are, we're reaping the results of those prayers even now. There was an old Indian years ago. He was a very old, aged man at this time, and he was in a church service, and he gave the testimony of the man that we couldn't kill. I'm talking about George Washington when he was fighting the Indians. He was up there leading his troops and leading in the battle, and those Indians would shoot that guy, and they'd shoot that guy, and they had rifles, and they were shooting it, and they would see the bullets go through his cloak, but he would never go down. And Layla found out that he would take him when he got home after that battle. He got back to the camp, whatever. He looked at his cloak, and it was just holes were all through it. But he was never touched with a wound, because Christians prayed. His family, his mother prayed. He was a young soldier. In 1754, George Washington was out in the wilderness having Bible study with the soldiers and Indians in 1754. George Washington did that. Now, you won't learn that in public school anymore. God was real, and God needs to be real to us today. Not because we're going to have a new country. Oh, we have a new country. Yes, we have a new country. Praise the Lord. But we need to be fortified. We need to be strengthened, not for ourselves, but for this world around us. They are sinking fast, and they have no hope except our God. We need to pay attention. Amen. Verses 2 through 7, for men shall be lovers of their own souls all the way down, never learning, able to keep. Into verse number 7, never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Never able. Why? Because they're not saved. They need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the last thing we're going to look at, verse number Matthew 6, 8, and 18, he said, Jesus will build his church to be a powerful force for God. He says, I will build my church. And then he says, I will give the keys. And these are not keys to open the church. They're keys to victory for the church. When we have situations, we can pray to God and he can take care of them. God is in control of everything. Governments, our government, the world, I mean everything. When we pray, we have an opportunity for God to move on our behalf. We rejoice in stories like Joshua, where the world literally, or the sun stood still. Literally, it stood still for like a day and a half. Why? Because Joshua just prayed. He said, Lord, please give me some more time so I can whip them. He didn't say, God, whip them for me, I'm running out of time. He said, just give me more time and I can do it. Numbers 14. The last verse, Numbers 14. He said, it's my church. I thank God for it. Numbers 14, verse 21. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Our part of the earth is to be filled with the glory of the Lord. And the avenue is us. The avenue is us. We are the avenue that God wants to use to have his glory manifested in Canonsburg, Kentucky. We're the avenue. We're the pieces of pipe that God wants to move through. Are we plugged up? Are we bent up? Are we mangled? Are we clean? Are we work? Are we usable? What's the word that we used for? Are we serviceable? Can God use it that way? Our part of the earth is to be filled with the glory of the Lord. But it's not. It's not. It's not because God is falling down on the job. It's not because God's getting old and senile. It's not because God is weak. Is because he's got less to work with now than he had before. Even though there's more Christians probably in the world today than ever was, just because of the way the population is, he has less to work with now than he has ever had before. Yes. Amen. It's his church. Hope it sinks in. Lord, we thank you for this time. Pray, help us now and just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name.
Part or another that message spoke to your heart.